This morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. And to me this chapter gives probably the most complete view or perspective of what it really means to have a walk with God in the Spirit, what it really means to experience spiritual growth. It's always been a real blessing to me. We'll start at the beginning. As the Lord's prisoner, then, I beg you to live lives worthy of your high calling. Accept life with humility and patience, generously making allowances for each other because you love each other. Make it your aim to be at one in the Spirit, and you'll be bound together in peace. There's one body, one Spirit, and it goes on from there. The foundation that's laid is that when we have the humility of spirit and that oneness, that's the fertile soil where things of God grow.
Amen.
Problem with religion or a religious spirit or the leaven of the Pharisees is the soil is hardened, rocky. So nothing really grows. And that's why Jesus, when he spoke of the Pharisees, he said, "You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside's all dirty and dead." Well, that's all you can do. If nothing's growing, all you can do is clean the outside, create an image that everything's okay. But everything that is born of God, it's not some image we create. It's something that he births through his Spirit in our lives. Humility is the soil where all things of God will grow. Where there's an atmosphere of grace and humility, everything grows. Remember in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares? Here the wheat is doing just fine, and all of a sudden you have tares that are growing or weeds that are growing with the wheat. And they come and they say, "Should we remove the tares? What did the Lord say? "No, wait until the harvest, because if you uproot the weeds now, you may also uproot the wheat." So being spiritual and growing spiritually does not mean that there's not an old nature or that we're perfect. What it does mean is we're able to look at that humanity in an honest and open way. It means everything is brought to the light. You don't do everything perfectly. That's why we have repentance, turning away. What? Because we have this old nature. We have things we want to be delivered from, freed from. To have the right kind of soil means you're growing spiritually, and all those things, they don't just disappear. They don't go into hiding like they do with the religious spirit. But all of the things of our humanity and flesh are brought to the light and exposed. Again, the word transparency keeps coming to me. To be spiritual, to be in a place where the wheat is growing, is a place of transparency where we can look at our lives in an honest way. We're not trying to put on a front. We're not trying to live out some kind of pretense or create some image for other people. When it's truly the grace of God flowing through our life, people can see that we're human.
Amen.
But more importantly, they see the glory of God. If we go down to verse, I'm actually reading from the Phillips, so I don't have verses. I think it's verse 7, though. It says, "To each of us is given his measure of grace from the richness of Christ's gift." All growth is based on this. Each one is given grace. And in that grace is the capacity for all growth in Christ to take place. And we've got to cooperate with it. We've got to say yes and amen to the will of God working in our life. But don't ever think that you can create growth in and of it just by your own efforts. You grow because God's grace, that gift has been given to you.
Yes.
And you said yes to that gift and said, "Lord, thy will be done." And that's how we're able to mature in him. We go on down in the chapter, verses 11 through 16. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit that are given. This everybody is very familiar with. We tend to forget the first part of the chapter about the humility that we need and the patience we need. But we all focus on God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And it says, "For this purpose, His gifts were made that Christians might be properly equipped for their service, that the whole body might be built up until the time comes when, in the unity of the common faith and common knowledge of the Son of God, we arrive at real maturity, that measure of development which is meant by the fullness of Christ. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching and of the jockeying of men who are expert in the crafty presentation of lies. But we are meant to speak the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ, the head. For it is from the head that the whole body, as a harmonious structure knit together by the joints with which it is provided, grows by the proper functioning of individual parts and so builds itself up in love. Amen. From another translation, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love.
Amen.
Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. God gives the gift ministries for one purpose, what we've been reading about, for the body to be connected to the head and for us to grow in love together, to be able to speak the truth in love to one another.
Amen.
Okay, now, if that's not happening, we can still have gift ministries operating. But if it's not bearing this fruit, we need to go back to the beginning of the chapter and say, what happened to the fertile soil of humility?
Amen.
It's not that the giftings are false, but if the enemy can get in with spiritual pride, you can have gifts, apostles and prophets that are speaking the word of God. You can have the power of the Spirit being manifest, and still there's not the fruit of the Spirit. God gives gifts not so people can be exalted or we can have great meetings. He's given these gifts so that we can all mature together into Christ.
Amen.
To grow up spiritually. What does it look like when we're mature spiritually? That to me is what the last part of this chapter describes. Verse 17 talks about we not walking anymore with the futility of mind, excluded from the life of God.
Amen.
I'm trying to find it here in the Phillips. This is my instruction then, which I give to you in the Lord's name. Do not live any longer the futile lives of Gentiles, for they live in a world of shadows and are cut off from the life of God through their deliberate ignorance of mind and sheer hardness of heart. There's a futility on the age, and that futility affects our natural mind. And if we let that futility take over our mind, it creates a hardness of heart. Just picture the soil of your heart just becoming very hard. Again, things can't grow. So when the body is growing in love and we're maturing, what's happening? Futility is being broken. Futility talked about being excluded from the life of God. Whenever we're under futility, we're not experiencing His presence. And this growing spiritually, just see it this way, this is how we end the futility of the age. Not by prophesying, just speaking to it constantly. God leads you to pray and prophesy, do that. But it's when the futility breaks from your own thinking,
that's right,
that you have authority of the futility that's out there.
Yes.
And what God is going to do is He's going to have a people that are freed from futility of their thinking. That soil is soft. It's not hardened. They're not excluded from the life of God. We're going to be aware of God's presence. And because futility has no place in our thoughts, we'll have authority over the futility that's out in the age. we can expel it. Verse 22, it talks about being able to lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. It talks about the lusts of deceits. When we're growing spiritually, we don't have this struggle with our flesh where it's a constant battle and we end up condemned. You know, how you strive with yourself. I've got to be different. I can't keep doing those things. When we're growing spiritually, we're able to lay it aside.
Yes.
There's an authority that's released. It's not the hard process. We've made it. And whenever we come under the condemnation of the enemy and his lies, you know the problem with that? A lot of problems with that. You can't lay aside the old nature. If you're condemning yourself, what you're doing is you're clinging to the old nature.
Amen.
We have to know that in Christ there is no condemnation. And when we know and we can feel and experience that love and acceptance, we can lay aside what he paid a price for on the cross to set us free from.
Amen.
Verse 23 talks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind and putting on the new self. Spiritual growth is all about that spiritual renewal and the change that comes to our thinking. And when we can think differently, that is the new self of Christ that's being put on. We take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. This is from the Message Bible. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. I love the way that's expressed. You go on with this chapter, it talks about no more lies, no more pretense, being able to be honest with one another. I'm going to read more from the Phillips. What you've learned was to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through with lust illusions. And with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade to put on a clean, fresh clothes of a new life, which was made by God's design for righteousness and holiness, which is no illusion. Finish then with lying and let each man tell his neighbor the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. If you are angry, be sure that it is not a sinful anger. Never go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that sort of foothold. Another translation says, go ahead and be angry, just don't stay angry. I want to stop with this because anger is a human emotion. And if you can say, well, I'm never going to be angry, what you're going to end up doing is suppressing anger, and it turns into depression when it's pushed down inside. No, the Bible says that you're going to be angry. Just don't hold on to it.
Amen.
When we're living the spiritual life and we're growing spiritually, the anger comes up and we're able to look at it and understand what we're angry about and bring it to the light and be released from it.
Yes.
It doesn't turn into resentment and bitterness. Don't grieve God. This is verse 30 from the Message. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Let there be no more bitter resentment or anger, no more shouting or slander. Let there be no more bad feeling of any kind among you. Be kind to each other. Be compassionate. Be as ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. As we grow spiritually, we don't grieve our Heavenly Father. We don't take His Holy Spirit for granted. We recognize if there's bitterness or resentment, we let that drop off. We repent of it. And there's a kindness to a spiritual person. A quality of kindness, a quality that'll forgive. A person can have many gifts, yet they can hold on to grudges. They can be very unforgiving. What good are the gifts if they don't bear fruit of the Spirit? Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. And that's Matthew 7:16. Spiritual growth is seen by the fruit of the Spirit coming forth, not the gifts. I think especially in this hour, we're going to see greater and greater expression of the gifts of the Spirit. We need them.
Yes.
But it's going to be in an atmosphere of grace and brokenness, where we're going to recognize that every gifting is there so that we can bear greater fruit of the Spirit. How will the world know that Christ is here? The gifts will get their attention, but it's the fruit that will open people's eyes to see that this is the Heavenly Father and bring them to Christ. Amen.